Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Living Word broadcast with Pastor Mensah Otabo. My name is Albert Okran, and it's an absolute privilege to be here with the founder and general overseer of the International Central Gospel Church, Pastor Mensah Otabo. Doug, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Let's start with the year 2024. We've just gone past the midpoint of the year. How has the year been for you?
Well, our theme for this year is God, and it is central to the Christian faith. God is at the center of our lives. So this year, what we have sought to do is to highlight commitment to God and to teach about who He is, His attributes, and how we relate with Him, and so on and so forth. So I have done quite a lot of teaching around God and doing expositions from the Bible on Him. And I think it's been a very remarkable year in the sense that we are the foundation of our Christian faith to know who God is.
How important are these foundations, especially within the context of where the church is at this point in our journey?
I think the church, as with every organization, pretty soon takes things for granted. You know, it's like you learn and you get very high and you forget your additions and subtractions and your ABCs and grammar and nouns and pronouns, and if you do English. And so sometimes it's good to go back to the basics and go back to the foundations and to ensure that for those who are coming in afresh, they have a good foundation. For those who have been there for a long time, it's a refresher on who God is. And of course, in every teaching, there are new perspectives that you bring on an old subject, because we're going to teach about God for as long as Christianity exists. So it's always good to remind ourselves of what the foundations of our faith rest on.
Talking about foundations, today our focus is on the Greater Works Conference. So let's roll back to the inception, the original thoughts behind it, and how it's evolved over the years.
The Greater Works Conference wasn't intentionally thought of. We started what we call our Spiritual Emphasis Month, which used to run from in the month of July. So from July, beginning of July to the end of July, for 30 days, we'll fast and pray. And then after the 30 days of fasting and prayer, we'll have a meeting. And pretty soon we realized that this meeting we have after Spiritual Emphasis Month was beginning to be significant. People were benefiting from it. So that is how the conference started. So then we became intentional to organize a conference after the days of prayer and fasting. Then we changed the 30 days of fasting to 40 days, mimicking the fasting period of Jesus Christ, 40 days and nights in the wilderness. So we did our 40 days of power, which then directly dovetails into the Greater Works Conference. So I think it's a conference that has grown as we've discovered more of our relationship with the Lord. And it's been remarkable how it's been a blessing to people.
Let's stay with the theme of fasting, especially a dedicated collective fast. How important is that for individuals, for churches, and by extension, for even societies, to have a dedicated fast of this nature?
You know, we have a whole year. And yes, we worship God throughout the year. We go to church, we read our Bibles, we have devotionals, we go for all kinds of meetings. But it's always good to dedicate a period where we consciously say, this is a time we've set apart for our spiritual life. We want to really make an extra effort, and to show the seriousness of our effort, we are putting food away temporarily so that we can intensify this love and devotion and desire for God. And so that period is important. And I think for every Christian, it's good just once in a year for a period to say that this is my period for my spiritual life. Although I do all of these throughout the year, this is a devoted period. And I think fasting is an important discipline for the Christian. It should be part of the regularity of our Christian life that at a certain point in a year, we spend time to wait on the Lord in prayer and fasting.
This was originally an ICGC undertaking, but over the years, it would seem that many people outside your church have begun to look forward to and participate in the 40 days of power. Would you call it an unintended outcome, or it was always part of the vision to bring people on board in this undertaking?
I think it's been the spirit of the ICGC. Whatever we do in our church, we do it in such a way that people can participate in it, even if they are not members of our church. And for almost all the programs we hold in our church, we don't so particularize it that people feel, oh, this is only for this group of people, and if I'm not part of the group, I cannot be part. And we've been very intentional and conscious of doing things in such a way that people feel they belong to it, whether it's a radio broadcast, the Living Word, Word to Go, even our scholarship scheme, our university. Everything we do, even if it emanates from the church, we do it in such a way that people feel comfortable joining in and being part of it. Because at the end of the day, Christianity is not about denominations. It's about the body of Christ. It's about we being able to serve one another and being able to minister to one another.
The theme for the year, as you rightly indicated, is God. Will that be very central in the messages, the positioning of the conference this year?
Usually we don't tie our speakers down to a theme during the Greater Works Conference, but invariably they converge around a theme, although we don't tell them, oh, preach on this or preach on that, or this is the theme. Invariably they converge around the theme for the year. And so I guess much of the preaching will converge around God, and maybe in a different dimension of God, his supernatural power, his miraculous power, and so on and so forth. I mean, but that's not all that we need to know about God, that the miraculous. We also have to know his nature, his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion. But his miracles are also part of him. Generally, I think that that's probably where the direction will be going.
As a convener, it would be interesting to know from you, what would you call a successful conference at the end of every year?
I personally do it in conversations with people, and I just look out for subtle comments that show that something has happened in the life of the person that they can take away with after the conference, something that they can live with and something that can work in their lives. So that's the spiritual aspect of, and then you look at the organizational, how well organized it was, and whether we did things as excellently as we planned it to be. We look at the participation, the music. So it's quite a broad way of determining whether the conference has been successful.
Over the years, one of the things that has found a lot of footage in the media is about the quality of the organization. Why is that so big for you?
I think God is a very organized God. I mean, that's what we see in the Bible right from the opening pages of the Bible. We see God organizing the earth for life, you know. So he goes through a process of organization and putting things in the right place and all of that. And then life starts and then culminates in his image, mankind being created. So God is an organizer, and we see that. And throughout the Bible, God is very meticulous in the way he does things. We see in the instructions he gives to people, they are very meticulous, they're very exact, and they have to be done exactly. The temple had to be built exactly. The Ark of the Covenant built exactly. Noah's Ark had to be built with specifications. So you see that as the theme of the Bible: specificity, exactitude, doing things with time and all of that together. And we try to mimic that. And so there's a lot of exactitude with which we do things. Right to the second, things are organized that way.
Would you say that a conference leaves an impact on the organization that hosts it, apart from the individuals?
It does. I mean, because, you know, we bring our churches together. So there is interlearning. Music groups learn from each other, choirs learn from each other. People observe and say, wow, we have to take this to our church. You know, I think we can do things this way, we can do things better. And even people who are not members of ICGC look at it and think of things they can learn from to go and implement or suggest wherever they come from. So the spirit of excellence has been a hallmark of our church right from day one, because much of what we do now is basically how we've been from day one. It's our philosophy. It's been the way the church is organized. Even when we're tiny in a small classroom, the quality and excellence, when we had nothing, we still had quality and excellence. If we meet in a classroom, we make sure the classroom is neat, the chairs are arranged well, if it's a table, it's laid well. Everything is, you know, done so that with the little you have, you do it to the best level, you know, and do it conscious that this is to God. And it has to honor him.
Let's situate the conference within the light of Africa, which is very dear to your heart. What are the cultural, religious, and social trends in Africa right now that make this convening even more critical?
Well, I consider myself an incurable optimist about Africa's future. Yes, I understand the challenges, and I get sometimes buffeted by the many problems we have, and sometimes disappointed in all of us and what happens. But it has never dimmed my hope for our people, for our lands, for our nations, for our countries. I am so persuaded of a rising Africa, of a manifestation of this continent. I believe God has destined us for greatness, and we will get there, and we will get it right. We may seem to be getting it wrong, but we will get it right. And we are not the only people to get things wrong for a long time, but we get it right. I mean, until recently, people thought that China, for example, was a wasted opportunity with all their number. They seem to get it wrong and wrong and wrong. Then they got it right. And within a short time, until recently, the Middle East used to get it wrong for a long time, you know, but they got it right. A lot of countries that seem on a consistent tedium of disappointment and disappointment, and then they get it right. And I believe we'll get it right. I mean, it's sad when you're getting it wrong. It's depressing when you're getting it wrong, but we'll get it right. We will fix it. And I don't know how all the details will be, but we'll get it right. We'll get it right.
One of my favorite moments is the opening night and the communion service. And it will seem that over the years, it almost seems that consistently on the opening night, there is a message for Africa in your sermon. Is it intentional or something that...
It is very intentional. I mean, the opening night is when I try to reiterate the overriding concern, you know, because most people go through 40 days of power, praying, fasting, come to Greater Works because they have a personal need. They want God to do something for them. They want to believe God for something. They want something to happen to them at the personal level or their family level. And so much of the preaching focuses on individuals and their quests in life. But I try to cast the opening night in a broader way, that yes, we have needs, but there is something that we all belong to that is bigger than us, a land, a people, a continent, struggling to find its way. And whilst we are looking for our individual benefit, we must always be mindful that there is something bigger than just our need being met. So I cast that traditionally as my opening night. And just to remind people, there's something bigger than you and your need, and keep that focus. And of course, the rest of the conference, you're going to have things preached to help you as an individual. But let's not forget that there is something bigger.
Let's talk about the speakers. How do we conceptualize, and how key are the speakers that you bring in every year?
Much as I am a very creative person by nature, because I'm an artist, I'm also very conservative person. In other words, if I find something that works, I stick with it, you know. So I don't constantly go looking for something new to do. Once I find that something works, I make it work and just try to make the best of what is available. So we try to keep our speakers the same way. It's not that they are the greatest speakers in the whole world, but once you get speakers speaking at a conference for a very long time, they also become, although they are guests, they think like a host because they understand the spirit of the conference. They understand where it's going. They've participated so much. They understand the rhythm. So they're always a blessing, even though it's the same faces. And so we've kept the same speakers for decades and we keep doing the same thing. And people get amazed that although it's the same thing, it's always fresh, it's always new, it's always a blessing. It's almost like you're hearing them for the first time. But that's what happens. Sometimes you can get new things coming out of the old.
So for the benefit of those who don't know our speakers, could we throw light on
speakers? I mean, our speakers, the one who has been most consistent and coming from the longest is Pastor Matthew Ashimolo. And I speak the same way in his conference also, and I've been speaking in his conference for decades. He's been here for quite a long time. And he's somebody I really admire because of the depth of his knowledge. Sometimes people know speakers basically from what they preach, but I know speakers from my conversations with them and the breadth of their understanding. He's an extremely informed person. And then we have Bishop Tudor Bismarck, who's also spoken for a long time. Brilliant person, extremely astute in communication, very powerful in the way he preaches. Originally from Zimbabwe, but more a global citizen now. He preaches all over the world. And then we have Bishop Mike Okonkwo from Nigeria, who is approaching 80 this year. So you would think, oh, this is a time to retire, but still very vibrant and very intense. And, you know, it's good just to see that, and it's a picture to people that these are guys in their 70s, some approaching 80, but look at how vibrant and present they are and effective they are. And it tells all of us that we can still be very fruitful even into our old age and still be on the cutting edge. That age doesn't have to dampen our effectiveness wherever we operate. And of course, I preach also, so those are the speakers.
Thanks for making this happen for us every single year. Doc, let's go to the music, a very integral part of Greater Works. Everybody loves music at Greater Works. What should we expect this year?
We focus a lot on ICGC music. We showcase our music ministries in all our churches and the talents and the gifts. And then we bring in a couple of outside performers and ministers. And this year we have Nathaniel Basse coming in from outside. He's been doing it for quite a while. And so he also knows the space. He's done it over and over. And so he will be a blessing. But we start the music rehearsals. We internally months and months and months ahead of time. For everything we do in our church, we're not spontaneous. We are very methodical and exact. I personally believe in hard work. Talent is great, but hard work and real commitment is what we drive. So we start everything very early, work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it until we get it right. And then we minister it to the Lord as a sweet-smelling incense to the Lord to tell God, we value you so much that we invest so much time to prepare what we do for you.
Life-transforming messages, anointed ministrations, uplifting praise and worship. Experience God's presence and power at Greater Works 2024. Speakers, Pastor Matthew Ashimolo, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, Bishop Mike Okonkwo, and host, Pastor Mensah Otterville. Date, Monday 29th July to Friday 2nd August. Morning sessions from Tuesday 30th July to Friday 2nd August. Time, 9 a.m. Evening sessions, time, 5 p.m. each night. Venue, ICGC Christ Temple East. Special song ministration by Nathaniel Bassey. Also ministering, ICGC choirs and worship leaders. Buses will be available at vantage points across the city to bring you to Christ Temple East and back. Visit gwcentral.org and our social media handles for more details. See you there. Oh, it's coming down.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtobi. Email Otobi.